So this morning, we are in for a real treat. So Craig is not here. That's not the treat, obviously. although we are very glad that he and Darylyn are just having a wonderful time with their family, their new grandbaby down in Florida, a time to be refreshed and rejuvenated before coming back here in January. But this morning, we have Nick Wackerhagen. I hope I said that right, but he'll introduce himself as well. Nick is going to be bringing our message this morning, and he and his wife Amy and their three little girls are here this morning. So come on up, Nick.
Hi, everybody. Yes, that is my last name. It's Wackerhagen. It's 11 letters of German glory, so we'll have that. So I'm here today to give you a message. First of all, I'm going to update you on basically why I'm even here in Sioux Falls. And you'll see in your bulletin there's a little note. But I'm part of a co-planting team here in Sioux Falls with the Alliance. And me and Jimmy and his family are trying to plant a church here. And so my wife and I moved in September. At the end of September, and we've only been here a couple of months, so things are going a little slow. We're figuring out all our vision, our values, trying to figure out how to work together as a team, trying to learn Sioux Falls and the culture here, and trying to meet some people and start discipling some people even before we organize as like an official church body and do things like that. And so that's why we're here, and we're so excited, and my family's doing great. We live over there somewhere. I'm still like learning Sioux Falls. It's west. We're somewhere west. And it's been great. So thank you guys for having me. I know you got in your bulletin a couple of lines for me to share some prayer requests for you. And I do have prayer requests because we need Jesus all the time. One, if you could pray for us to have a fruitful time with the district church planting guy that's coming. His name is Kyle. He's coming later in January. I want to have a fruitful time with him and the discussions we have. I want you to pray for our church planting coach, Steve Walters. He's a pastor at an Alliance church in Vermilion. He got diagnosed with cancer, I think in August. Is that right? August. So a month before we got here, we had this whole plan to have him as our coach, for him to speak into us and to help us along. And so we're grieving with Steve and his family about his cancer that's getting taken care of. I know he's on some meds and things like that. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know all the things with that. But pray for our coach, Steve. Pray for our prospectus. That's a fancy word for like our plan of what we're going to do. We're presenting that in March to the district committees. And then just praying for clarity, unity, and our main vision, values. And really, we just want to hear from Jesus and do what he says. And so help us and pray for us to respond to the Spirit, to hear the Spirit and respond to him. Help us to see God working and making his kingdom evident in Sioux Falls, because we want to join him and not just come at it with everything we want to do. We want to do what God is doing. So thank you guys for praying. Thank you. Just know that Craig has been awesome. He has been such a friend and brother to us, and we've met with him a couple of times. He's always so encouraging and so helpful. We just love Craig. And so thank you for sharing Craig with us. We appreciate that. So let me pray before I jump into Scripture and the message and prepare our hearts for what we're going to be looking at today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word, that we have space to share it with everybody, and that, Father, you've given everybody the Spirit to understand it. And so, Father, would you help us? Would you send your Spirit to us? Would you fill us up so that we could understand your word and that we could hear your voice calling to us? And, Father, we pray for just me and the message, that the words I speak would be your words and not mine. And, Father, that everybody would be ready to hear you and ready to respond to you. And Father, we just thank you. And we thank you for Jesus. And we know he was just been born, but we look towards his death and resurrection and Easter. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your plan to save people. And Father, help us to be a part of that. So Father, give us wisdom today. And give us your love and your presence today. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So happy New Year, everybody. I hope you're resolutioning, because it's a verb now. Your resolutioning is going well. I know that a lot of people love this time of the year for doing that stuff. And it's a good thing. There's actually Old Testament references for like yearly times where you have a feast and you like celebrate. There's times to every 7 years to like rest and pull back and rethink some things. And so this is not a bad thing, this resolution thing. It's actually can be a really, really good thing. It creates a rhythm for us to like reevaluate some things. Even in scripture, it creates holiness, like a special time to like think through what God would have for us this next year. And so it's a good practice. It's not found in scripture necessarily, but we can use this cultural practice for some good. And I know people, we can use it for good because I know people aren't like sitting there like resolutioning to share more offensive stuff on Facebook or rob just one more bank this year, just squeaking another bank robbery before you can move on to 2021. So it can be used for good, and this is a good thing. People think of all kinds of stuff. I know like reading scripture every day has been huge, getting through the Bible. That's my daughter, Penny. you can read more books. I know a lot of people are like, I'm going to read 100 books in a year. I'm like, that's too ambitious. That's crazy. Don't like children's books. Yes. Thick books. No, not going to happen. Last year, I actually did Psalms every month for the whole year. And while I didn't do it quite every like 30 days, I got through the Psalms 12 times last year. It was so good. It was so good to do that. But I know some of us, we come at the new year positively. Like we see this new year, we see it as a blank slate, a clean canvas. We can do some good. We can better ourselves in some way. We can create a story, a memory, and do something. And we're pretty excited for that blank canvas. I also know that some of us come at the new year with a little despair. We see a new year and we feel like it's already kind of painted. We look towards those dates that are on the calendar that we don't mark those dates, but we know internally what those dates are. Maybe it's anniversary of a death of a loved one, or just that rough season that you went through a few years ago, and you know that date, and you're not looking forward to it. We come at the year with a little despair, like the canvas has already been painted some very ugly colors, and I know that that's a thing. Another year of feeling the clock tick, another year of feeling like it's going to be a rough one just like the last one. And I get that feeling. I've been in both camps. I've seen rough years. I've seen good years, even though I'm only 35. But you don't get to look like this with some gray in your beard without a few rough ones under your belt. And so I really want us today to have Jesus speak into our year. All of it, the whole year, 12 months in one sermon. We're going to try. Jesus can do it. And so I want us to come at this new year with those deep, unspoken questions that the reasons why we make resolutions is we want some goodness. We want to do good. We want to be better. And I want Jesus to speak into this. And Jesus' own words, I think some of his words that he spoke do connect pretty closely with how he's going to speak to us in the new year. It's in John 14. If you can turn there, that'd be great. It's the way, truth, and life passage. We're going to read it, but I think everybody's asking those questions when they make a resolution, like, what is the way I should go? How am I going to live my life based off of truth this year? And how am I going to get a better life? How am I going to live my best life now? I realize that's out there. And so we ask these deeper questions. We may not speak them, but we ask them when we make resolutions, when we look at the next year. And I want Jesus to speak into those. So let's all turn to John 14, verses 1 through, let me open it up a little bit, 1 through 14. Well, we'll go 11. We'll do 11 today. So John 14. Everybody ready? Raise your hand. I'm not. Hey, good. Yes, very good. Yes, response. I love it. So John 14, 1 through 11. And I'll stop along the way and explain a few things. So John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Okay, close your Bible. That's it. Write that on every date on this calendar. Let your hearts not be troubled. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But we don't want to be living in denial, so let's keep reading. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way that I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? So Thomas, kind of living, kind of on brand of doubting Thomas, kind of like, hey, bud, like, I don't get it. And hallelujah that Thomas is there, like, doubting and struggling with what Jesus is saying is a part of his core group of people that he loved on for 3 years to teach him things. He's a disciple. So thank you that Thomas is there. But he's asking, how can we know this way? Like, this is really heavy stuff and big things, Jesus. What are we doing here? Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. That's heavy. That's big stuff. We're going to unpack that. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. This is the word of the Lord. So Jesus is saying, guys, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Just believe me, I'm going to get you to good things. I'm going to get you to the Father's presence, which is really a huge part of this. That Jesus is not just here, not just there to give the disciples, not just here to give us the good things that we can think of on our own, the good things that we can resolution for the next year. He's here to give us the best stuff. And that best stuff is himself. Right? He's saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And this is good. This is where I'm going to take you. I'm going to get you into the Father's presence. And even Philip, he's understanding this. It's clicking a little bit for Philip. He's like, Lord, show us the Father. That's enough for us. If I could just have that, Jesus, if you could show us the Father, I'm good. We're good. And he's like, you're looking at him like it's me. And thank you, Jesus, for Philip. And so he's trying to get us, he's trying to get them to believe him, that he can get them to the best place that's made for human flourishing, the best place anywhere in the universe in the presence of God. Now, I know this can be a little bit of a mystic, like, saying, like, he's the way, like a person is the way, truth, and life. Like, Jesus, this is heavy and kind of complicated, kind of, it's merging kind of this mystical realm that we don't fully grasp. But he's not saying just mystical stuff as a semi-earthly sage. He's actually saying stuff that applies to real life. Because real life always includes a spiritual element. And we're just earthly beings with a spirit. He breathed life into us in Genesis and we became and have a spirit. We became a living creature with a spirit. So the spiritual life and the realities of earth always come together. And who else is better to know what those are than Jesus, who is God, fully God and fully man, holding both of those completely and without any kind of messing up. So that's why I want Jesus to speak to us today, because he can do it. He can show us the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to unpack that idea, how he's the way, truth, and life in this next part. And so he's the way. His life, and this is what I kind of trying to help explain a little bit. His life is the example, and his guidance will bring us to the goodness of God. His life is the example, the top example, pinnacle of example of human living and flourishing, and his guidance will bring us to the goodness of God. That's not to say it won't be hard. Right? Hebrews 12 says it perfectly. Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, which is good. Okay, what did he do? Who for joy that was set before him, there's joy ahead of him, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In this next year, in the way that Jesus is showing us, that's good, that's right, that's holding both realities of earthly human existence and spiritual life, the way that's before us is a way of joy and suffering. You're going to have both this year. I'm sorry if that's a little troubling, but it happens. There's going to be extreme joy. You're going to smile. You're going to laugh until you cry. You're going to watch something really good on Netflix, and it's going to be awesome. You're going to have joy this year. You're going to have joy with the people around you, with your church body, with your church family. You're also going to have suffering. There's going to be news you didn't expect. There's going to be a swipe on that canvas that you really don't want there. There might even be a rip on that canvas that you didn't want there. You're going to have joy and suffering. It's the way of Jesus. And that's not that he didn't plan that. He knew it was coming. Right? Psalm 119, 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." Psalm 119, 71, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." There's goodness in suffering. It's hard. We've all been through suffering, I'm sure of it. But I want us to make sure that we're walking through that suffering with Jesus, and not just with what we think is good, how we can avoid the suffering, how we can make it stop. But the guy who shows us the way, who is the way, can show us the way through it. He's going to show up if you're with him. Because the circumstances of life will change you less. The suffering and joy of life will change you more than your resolutions ever will. Stuff you can't see coming, but if we're with Jesus, it's going to be the right change in the right direction towards the goodness of God and his presence. So the way of Jesus, his life and example, and his guidance to bring us to the goodness will include joy and suffering. It's also going to include him showing up in your life and showing you how to walk this path. Like, I wholeheartedly believe that Jesus still speaks today through his Spirit into the lives of his saints to show you how to go, show you where to go, show you what to do. It's going to seem a little crazy that you know things before other people, but he's going to show you. Right? He shows you. He says he's going to come back, and he does through his Spirit. And he does at the end of time, yes, but he does through his Spirit now to show us the way we should go. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't just say, okay, here's a book, and it's good, and read it, and try to figure it out. He's like, here's a book, and it's really good, and it's alive, and the Holy Spirit is going to help you, because that Holy Spirit is my Spirit, and I'm going to show you how to go. His guidance will show us goodness. He's going to show up your life and beckon you to follow him. He did with us and our family to move to Sioux Falls, to uproot from some place we've been in for 4 years, having a good time, living a really good life, having a couple of kids. He said, okay, Nick, time to move. I'm going to show you the way you should go. It brought suffering. It really did bring suffering. It brought joy, and we moved, and we're following Jesus because he still shows up. He still speaks to you in your life. So he is our way. His life and his guidance will lead us to good places. Secondly, Jesus is the truth. His life and teaching are from complete knowledge of the truth. He knows everything. He knows everything that's right and good. He knows the truth about everything. He knows good and evil, and that's how he lives his life. I don't know if you guys know, but your life is lived by stuff you believe, right? And so the stuff that Jesus believed, because he knew everything perfectly, was complete truth. And then he tried to teach from that. His words come from complete truth. And so his life is complete truth. He even says it in this passage. "If it were not so," Jesus says, "would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" Question mark. The rhetorical answer is no. Jesus wouldn't have told us that if it wasn't true. He tells us good, true things. He ain't lying, and he's not wrong. His life and what he says and does are completely based off of truth, and this is why he calls us in this passage to believe in him, right? Because that's the hard thing. And I know that the inconsistency or the difficulty there where you're like, okay, I don't think Jesus is lying. Like, that seems silly. The issue comes is when, if you don't think Jesus is lying and then he tells you to do something really hard, that's where the belief, your belief and his truth are coming into contact with each other. Like, do I actually believe what Jesus is saying? And if so, why am I not doing it? Or why am I doing it? It says in Psalm 86:11, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk and live in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Unite my heart. Make it consistent with what you are saying. Make what the truth that you teach and are and live consistent in my life. Make it consistent. So you don't think Jesus is lying, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle to believe. It's a struggle to get up the energy to live what he's saying. It's a struggle to get the desire to do what he's saying. And I know that tension. I know it's going to be hard. He's still the way. These are all connecting too. He's still the way. He's still showing us good things, but his life and his truth that he teaches can be hard, and he beckons us to believe. Because what other alternative do we have? We could just toss it out. We could just say, okay, I'm going to find my own truth and kind of figure out this life on my own and experiment until I get it right. We can trust Jesus too. We can trust him that his life is truth and the way he lives is truth and live from that. So I want to beckon you to believe him as the truth. Believe his way is good. Believe that his life and his teachings are true. All right, number three, Jesus' life. His life, and this is kind of the explanation, his life will bring us to the true human eternal kind of life that's in God's presence. His life will bring us to the true human eternal life that's in God's presence. Right, Philip? He's catching some of this. Jesus, show us the Father. It's enough for us. Like, if I could get with the Father, if I could be in the presence of God, everything's going to be okay. The ugly canvas that we see for the next year, it's going to be okay. We're in his presence. Philip is getting that. He's catching that. This is life. This is eternal kind of life, not just that one that goes on forever. That's true. That's going to happen. Don't be freaked out by that. You're going to live forever. You're going to be conscious forever. But it's not just that you're going to be there for all of time. It's that you're going to live in the presence of God and the true human kind of life in God's presence with all of his goodness surrounding you is going to be there too. And it all comes from Jesus. Right, Psalm 16:11. I've been in the Psalms a lot. That's why I'm referencing a lot. Psalm 16:11. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Right, human flourishing in God's presence is not just you get your name embroidered on a church chair. And we get to sing praises to him, though we will. It's going to be awesome. We're going to sing praises to him all the time, but we're going to really flourish in his presence. We can sit there and do nothing and enjoy him. We can do what he's called us and made us to do and enjoy him and enjoy what we're doing like he's made it. And we see the gospel in this, that Jesus' death and resurrection bring us to this, right? He's alive now. He died and came alive again. Colossians 3, our life is now hid with Christ on high. When he returns, he's our life. We're going to live with him. We're going to be with him. It's the gospel, the death and resurrection. He's alive. It's a death and resurrection that makes a place for you in the God's presence. So you might not have it on a church chair embroidered your name, but you're going to have a spot. Because he's looking right now and saying, my presence has a spot for each one of these people. He has a spot for Nick. He goes right there. Can't wait till he gets there. He's got some work to do on earth, yeah, but I can't wait till he gets there. I can't wait until he lives in his mansion by the sea. I don't know if there's mansions. I really hope there's a mansion by the sea for me. But well, we can hope. Craig's getting to experience that right now. But there's a spot. There's a spot for us in true human flourishing and in goodness of God, pleasures forevermore, fullness of joy. There's a spot for us in Jesus through the belief in him believing that he died and rose again for us, putting our trust in him. And you cannot produce this on your own. You can't produce the way, the truth, and life on your own. You can't do it through resolutions. You can't do it through experimentation of what works in life and what doesn't, through purely pragmatic things, right? We're soulish creatures. We have a body. We have a soul. Jesus held both of those in perfect unison. So you can't do this on your own. You need Jesus to do this. So how do we live that? How do we live that? One suggestion for us is to change your end goal from just bettering yourself to the presence of God. Nick, that's a little weird. What does that mean? That means, are we waiting for God to show up in our life? Are we listening for him to show up in our life? Are we expecting even for him to show up in our life? It doesn't matter how old you are, what you're doing, where you're at. God's everywhere. He can work in any situation. Are we expecting Jesus to be in our life, to show up, to show us the presence, to take us there? He says it. There's a place for you. I'm going to go, come and take you there. That includes the future. It also includes now. Change the end goal from betterment of yourself and your situation to the presence of God. Trying to experience his presence, trying to hear him, trying to listen to him. Change your end goal. Second one, change your resolutions from a posture of, I'm going to do something to make everything better, to a posture of learning and teachability and empty-handedness before God. Right? Because I did this. I make a ton of resolutions that I'm like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And rarely do I say, I'm going to listen and do what Jesus says more. Which is, I'm a pastor. That should be that should be a thing that I resolution to do. But it's hard, right? We want to do things that are going to make us better. And so change your resolutions. I need to change my own resolutions to be teachable and empty-handed, to hold all of my resolutions empty-handed before God and say, okay, which one am I actually going to complete, God? Which one do you want me to complete? Which resolution, what thing is not on my list that's on your list, God? Because I want you to teach me what I'm supposed to do. I want you to show me the path, show me the way of life. Because I can't produce that on my own. It's making an honest request in prayer with listening to God, saying, God, shepherd me. I need you to lead me. Because I can make up a bunch of ideas on my own and none of them could be right. And so holding them empty-handed. So here's what we're going to do. For 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you to put out your hands like this, okay? We're going to get moving a little bit. We're going to get moving. Put out your hands like this. And for 5 minutes, I'm going to give us time to think through what we want to happen this next year, and how open-handed are we with it, and how God is going to work in that. And if we're resistant to that, and we're going to sense what's going on inside of us and ask the Spirit to help us to know what he wants to take out and put in our hands, what he wants to keep there, what he wants to remove, what he wants to surprise us with. So close your eyes, and I'm going to pray for us as we do this. Jesus, we know your word says that you're the way, the truth, and life. You told it to your disciples, and Father, we want to follow you. Father, we want your presence. Jesus, we ask that you take us there, that you take all of us into the presence of God himself, to the Trinity and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Father, that you would bring us there. And Father, we come before you empty-handed with our next year, with 2020, and all the things that we want to accomplish, and all the things that we think are good, and we think are right, and we think are true. And Father, would you speak to us in your Holy Spirit on what you want to do? Father, would you make our hearts soft and teachable? Father, would we hold everything with an open hand so that you could be our way, our truth, and our life this year. Father, speak to us through your Spirit. Psalm 119 says, "You are good, you do good. Teach us your statutes." Father, we pray that is true of us. Jesus, we give you our 2020. We give you the next 12 months at least. Help us to follow you. Help us to live our lives with you. Help us to believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life this year. Father, help our hearts not to be troubled, because we're with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen, guys. That's all I have for you today. If you want to sign up for our email list, let me know, because we're going to be updating folks with how the church plant's going and what we're doing. And we would love for you to pray for us. So thanks, guys.